The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September is Minute Messages, Gospel-Filled Devotions for Every Occasion. This new devotional resource is written by Issues Etc. guest Dr. Matt Richard. Minute Messages is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Minute Messages, Gospel-Filled Devotions for Every Occasion, The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September.
As these progressive people and ideas take root with everything that is allowed to pass, we change ourselves as people, and we find it much more difficult to fight when the next battle comes.
If I profess with loudest voice and clearest exposition every portion of the truth of God, except that little point which the world and the devil are at that moment attacking, I am not confessing Christ.
There is no one who has exclusive domain on original sin. We are all born with sin, and it's not limited to any one race.
For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Those two words, for us, embody our Lutheran understanding of the blessed exchange that Christ was born and died for us, taking our place.
This is Jeff from Indiana. Soldiers on the firing line, love, Issues, etc.
It would be different if there were the account of Jesus' birth and his presentation at the temple there as an infant. And then it jumped to Jesus' public ministry when he's about 30 years old. But there is one account in the New Testament Gospels of Jesus as a boy at 12 years old in the temple on the occasion of the Passover. It's kind of a hide-and-seek story where, well, Jesus isn't hiding, but his parents certainly can't find him for 3 days. Why just this one story from Jesus' childhood before his public ministry? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be looking at that account in Luke chapter 2 of the boy Jesus in the temple, teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel. We'll spend some time discussing Antifa attacks on journalists and reporters. Mark Hemingway, senior writer for Real Clear Investigations, has written recently about that. Then Dr. Tyler Arnold joins us. Caring for caregivers will be the subject. He is a collegium fellow for doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel. Joining us to teach a Sunday school lesson today, the boy Jesus in the temple in Luke chapter 2, Pastor Tom Baker, host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
Why do you think that there's only one account of Jesus as a boy before his public ministry?
Yes, this is the only account given in the Bible of Jesus, and you gave the answer in the question, before his public ministry. When did that occur? That occurred when John the Baptizer baptized Jesus. The Father from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And the Holy Spirit, in the form of a dove, descended upon him and into Jesus. And that began his ministry. Until then, he was growing up. He was learning about Scripture. In fact, at the end of our text, it says, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man." And that's the time that he was a young boy, all the way to the time that he was baptized by John the Baptizer. And so this is the only event that we hear about Jesus where he actually speaks. Now, you got to remember, we talked about that he had been blessed by Simeon and Anna when he was in the temple. So there's no doubt that that occurred. So Jesus is 12 years old, and it says that this was the custom of his parents each year to go to the Feast of the Passover. Now, that's significant because we're assuming Jesus, therefore, was in Jerusalem for 12 different years during the time of the Passover, because at this time, he is 12 years old.
Why were Jesus' parents going to Jerusalem?
Well, many Jews came to the Passover. We remember during the crucifixion time, there were people from all over the place. And there was that man who carried Jesus' cross. He wasn't from Jerusalem. He wasn't even from Israel. He was a Jew from northern Africa who had come for the Passover. And that's why Pilate agreed to crucify Jesus, because he was in a situation where he didn't want a riot occurring among all these people who had come to the Passover. And the Bible even says he allowed the crucifixion of Jesus to placate the crowd. And this also occurred during the time of the Passover. So the parents had come with Jesus to Jerusalem, and this is where this particular event takes place.
How could Jesus' parents lose track of their son?
Well, it just wasn't Mary, Joseph, and Jesus who had left Nazareth to come to Jerusalem. There were a large group of people, cousins, etc. The Passover was really big, and so a lot of people did a kind of a Mecca. Extended families and friends would travel together. They would be singing and picnicking along the way. And that's also what happened when they returned. They would have a large group of people. Now, Jesus was 12 years old, so obviously he could walk. And the parents just assumed that he was with the large group that they were with, until they discovered that they began to search for him after a day's journey, and he was not found among their relatives and acquaintances.
Luke says, after 3 days, they found him. Is 3 days significant?
We hear 3 days a number of times in the scripture. It was also when a person was swallowed by a big fish because he refused to go to Nineveh. And that was 3 days. In fact, Jesus himself gives that as a sign. As Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days, so also the Son of Man will be for 3 days buried. Jesus was buried before Friday ended, and he was there Saturday, and he was there Sunday, 3 days, and rose from the dead early Sunday morning. So that's a possibility that here they are in Jerusalem, looking for Jesus for 3 days, and they're searching for him. And that's probably why the 3 days are significant, because that's going to be occurring again.
Where did they end up finally finding the boy Jesus?
Yes, verse 46 of Luke 2. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. So Jesus was quite amazing. They say, and all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. Now, being 12 years old, he would have had time to read the Old Testament. And so there were many questions that he would be asking the Jewish teachers at that time that maybe they really weren't aware of. For example, one question he might have asked was, it says that the Messiah is going to come, but it also says that he will be pierced in hands and feet. And Isaiah says that he will be whipped and spit at. How do you understand that? And of course, among the teachers, that wasn't a conceived notion of the Messiah. In fact, many of them, and we find that out from the feeding of the 5,000, expected the Messiah to be a powerful figure, a kind of a bread king who would restore Israel back to its former grandeur. And therefore, Jesus could ask them a lot of questions. These questions appear in Jesus' ministry. For example, the Sermon on the Mount. He says something, you've heard it said of old, thou shalt not murder. And of course, many of the teachers say, well, we haven't murdered anyone. And then Jesus explains, but, and this could have been a question to them, is not sin not only something that is done, but also is it something that is spoken or thought of that is sin? Because even in today's society, many people think that thoughts of sin are really not that serious, that they aren't to be considered as necessitating the gift of a Savior. And so a lot of people don't think they're as sinful as God regards them. That's why it's important that the children attend worship, and they attend not only hearing the liturgy, but the sermon. And so at times, we get a situation where the individuals are hearing something they have never heard before about the commandments of God. And Jesus would have been asking questions like this, asking them questions, and they were amazed at his understanding of the scripture, because, as we're going to see, not even Mary and Joseph considered him to be the Son of God.
When Jesus is asking these questions, how can we think of this as the young Jesus learning God's word?
Yes, we can think of it as learning God's word, because his questions would be on the basis of God's word. For example, when God came to Adam and Eve after their terrible sin in the Garden of Eden, he says to the serpent, the devil, that his head will be crushed, but the one who will crush it, the devil also will wound his ankle. In other words, he's referring to the cross of Christ. And so when Jesus reads these items, you never fully know the scripture when you're only 12 years old. And so questions he would be asking would get the teachers to examine what they believe and therefore tell what is happening. As you know, with your radio ministry and with mine on Law and Gospel, there are a number of times where I get questions that I haven't really thought of, and I have to do a little bit of work to get the answer to them. So even I, as a pastor, with decades of reading the Bible, have still a long way to go in formulating proper answers, and I have many questions which I'm glad that others are able to answer as I read their books and listen to their lectures. That's very, very important, And as I've said with every sermon I preach, there's two goals. Number one is to say something that the listeners have never heard before. And that's an insight from one of the texts for the Sunday. And the second thing is always to end the sermon with the gospel and a note of comfort in regard to the sin that that particular text has pointed out. And so Jesus was growing in knowledge of the scripture, and by asking questions, he was getting more information.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson today, the boy Jesus in the temple in Luke chapter 2. When we come back, what does Mary say when she and Joseph find the boy Jesus in the temple?
It was Jesus Christ our Lord. Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
Did the early church teach scripture alone, or was this a new teaching by the Lutheran Reformers? Find out in Pastor Will Whedon's column in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Jake Domick recounts how he found the comfort of the Lutheran Confession during a military deployment to Afghanistan. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
Did you know that many LCMS military personnel and their families are unable to receive Word and Sacrament ministry due to the lack of LCMS chaplains? Ministry to the Armed Forces is looking for pastors who will answer the call to serve as a chaplain to provide Word and Sacrament ministry to the men and women who selflessly serve our nation. Find out more about this exciting ministry by contacting me, Chaplain Craig Mueller, at lcmschaps@lcms.org. That is lcmschaps@lcms.org.
Sanctifying your child rearing with the Word of God. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Our Savior Lutheran Church in Milford, Illinois is a congregation of broken yet redeemed sinners who gather weekly to receive God's love and mercy. You won't find anything fancy here. We don't worship according to the latest trends. We follow the patterns of worship the church has used for millennia. We don't tell you to become holy like us. We invite you to be a sinner like us. Jesus delivers his forgiveness. That's what you'll find here every week for you. More information at oursaviormilford.com.
If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Those words of Jesus have been the motto of Concordia University Chicago for generations. We build our education on the Word of God, the only sure foundation for learning. I'm Dr. Adam Francisco, Dean of the College of Theology, Arts, and Humanities at Concordia Chicago, and I invite you to visit us to discover what it means for God's Word to become the foundation of your future. Learn more at cuchicago.edu.
Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel is leading us in a teaching on the boy Jesus in the temple in Luke chapter 2. I'm Todd Wilkin. You're connected to Issues Etc. Perhaps the shyest member of the Trinity is the Holy Spirit. However, do not mistake the word shy for ineffective or weak. The Holy Spirit seeks to convince you of three important truths. He seeks to convince you about your sin, righteousness, and judgment. Some solid teaching from the Issues Etc. book of the month for September, Minute Messages, Gospel-Filled Devotions for Every Occasion by Dr. Matthew Richard. You can find out more about this devotional resource at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and ask for the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September, Minute Messages, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Tom, what does Mary say to Jesus when they finally find him in the temple?
Well, first of all, they're astonished. And Mary says to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." So she's kind of reprimanding Jesus for not being with the rest of the relatives, etc. And so one would think, well, does Mary think that he has sinned in this area? Well, Jesus' answer is, why were you looking for me? Did you not know I must be in my Father's house? Now, Mary had heard from Gabriel about who Jesus was to be. And Joseph had also heard from Gabriel in a dream when he discovered that Mary was pregnant. And of course, they were not yet married. But they did not fully understand this. And we can understand why they don't understand. In a congregation, there are those who understand biblical theology, but then the majority of people have what we call everyday theology. They have notions about God when they read the scriptures, and often misunderstand what the English words are saying. And that's why it's really necessary to have a pastor trained in the original languages, trained in knowing the history at the time of Jesus, and trained in knowing the distinctions between law and gospel, so that these apparent questions on the part of the laity can be answered. That's why it's very important that a pastor really get to know his congregation, to see what kind of thoughts they have from a religious point of view that are really part of everyday theology. Mary and Joseph, if they had really understood what Gabriel had told them, and also what Simeon had told them, the first place they would have gone to would be the temple, because that was the true father of Jesus Christ. Joseph was only his adopted father. And so Jesus did not break the commandment to honor your father and mother. He was simply going to the temple as a way of worshiping. In fact, this has happened in the vacation Bible school I had. We would open it up to kids in the neighborhood, and occasionally we would have a child who hadn't told his parents that he was coming to the vacation Bible school for 5 mornings. But at the end, he would tell them, and they would often accompany him or her to the final day of vacation Bible school, where they would learn what they had not known about Jesus, and their children would have a knowledge beyond their understanding if they were not attending church. So Jesus, 12 years old, there's a number of kids I've had at 12 years old in confirmation that really were quite theologically precise, and we would encourage them to go to the seminary. In fact, in my congregation I was at for 28 years, at one time, we had 5 of our members who were attending the seminary. And that's an important thing that needs to be done today with the lack of pastors and a number of congregations vacant in the sense that they don't have a full-time pastor. So there's a lot that can be told to the children in Sunday school to make them aware that God may be calling them into pastoral work or deaconess work, and something they should be aware of.
When Jesus says, why were you searching for me? Did you not know I had to be in my Father's house? Or sometimes it's translated about my Father's business. How should we understand that?
We understand it because Jesus had learned, even at 12 years old, that he was to be submissive to the Father, and that he realized he was the Christ, the Messiah, who was to come. Because you can't read the Old Testament without recognizing how, well, I'm sure Mary had told Jesus about what Gabriel had said. Joseph had told him. Simeon, he had heard, even though he was only a baby, that had been reported to him. And so, with his sinless nature, he realized that that was something that he needed to be prepared for. And even told the disciples three times in the book of Mark, he's going to Jerusalem and he will die there. But he also said he will rise from the dead in 3 days. And it appears that the only person who believed that was that woman who came and washed him, poured expensive liquid over him, and Jesus says that was for my burial. She believed that he was going to die and be raised from the dead. The only person in the New Testament that had such faith. And so, all the Bible says about Mary is that Jesus went with them, returned to Nazareth, and was submissive to them. That's why he wasn't breaking the fourth commandment. And it says his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. That's not the only time the Bible talks about that. But you can imagine when she heard the words of Simeon in the temple, that she would be in great grief and was wondering, what is Simeon talking about? And so, like the disciples, who really didn't come to a proper understanding of Jesus until after his resurrection, that was also the case even with Mary and Joseph, or else they would have gone straight to the temple because they knew that the Father in heaven was the Father of Jesus.
The account ends, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. How should we understand that?
This means that he continued to read the scripture. The word wisdom is used in the Old Testament. If you'll recall, God asked Solomon what gift he should give him. And Solomon did not say, well, I want more money. I want more property. No. I want wisdom. And that became very clear in one of the first cases that Solomon was faced with. Two women, they both had babies, but one died at night. And the one woman whose baby it wasn't said, well, that was my baby. And Solomon was trying to figure out, how can I tell who's really the mother? So he said, I know what I will do to them. I will cut the baby in half and give half to each of you. Now the mother said, no, give her the baby. But the woman whose baby it was not didn't have a problem with what Solomon was saying. And we see Solomon's wisdom. And what wisdom is an ability to understand the will of God for our lives. It's really called the third use of the law, where God gives us information as to what he desires our will to be. When a pastor counsels someone and they're in great jeopardy or they have sorrow over something, the pastor is to be able to use the various passages from the Bible in order that that person he's talking to will be increased in wisdom and therefore in favor with God and man. Jesus was, because he was always submissive to the Father. And therefore, we too can be submissive to the Father. And when we are not, which means we sin, we can repent of that sin and is forgiven by Jesus Christ and his death on the cross and resurrection. So there's a lot to get across to the children with this lesson, but it really shows the importance, even with children, bringing them to church, bringing them to Sunday school, bringing them to vacation Bible school, and reading Bible stories to them at home. Concordia Publishing House has some great books that help summarize all of the Bible so that they become aware of the history of the Bible and then become knowledgeable of the promises connected to that history, which means heaven is their home.
Finally, with about 30 seconds here, what's the law and gospel of this lesson?
Well, Mary is the mother of Jesus. She's the mother of God, but she didn't recognize who Jesus truly was. And nobody does when they are born. That's the law, that we just don't realize who Jesus is. And that's why the gospel, which is the word of God, it makes clear to us that Jesus is not only the Son of the Father, but he's also our Savior, who died so that we will never really die, and who lives so that we live eternally. That's how you end a sermon.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. You can find out all about Law and Gospel at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand Archives. Next week, Pastor Baker will lead us in a Sunday school lesson on John the Baptist, pointing to Jesus in Matthew chapter 3 and John chapter 1. Tom, thanks.
And thank you.
Mark Hemingway of Real Clear Investigations is with us on the other side of the break. He has written recently about Antifa attacks on reporters and why, by and large, the mainstream media has been ignoring them.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue our trek through St. Mark with Tradition of the Elders, Corban, What Defiles, The Syrophoenician Woman, and Healing of the Deaf Mute. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September is Minute Messages, Gospel-Filled Devotions for Every Occasion. This new devotional resource is written by Issues Etc. guest Dr. Matt Richard. Minute Messages is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Minute Messages, Gospel-Filled Devotions for Every Occasion, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September.
Confessional Lutherans are invited to rent a 4-bedroom, 3-bathroom, Table Rock lakefront home in the Ozarks. Table Rock Lake is a premier lake in the heart of the Ozarks for boating, water sports, and fishing. This log cabin-style rental sleeps 12 and is 30 minutes from Branson and 20 minutes from Silver Dollar City. Learn more by calling Swanson Estates, 713-855-2681. Be sure to mention Issues Etc., 713-855-2681.
Many educational institutions are governed by the whims of culture and are increasingly hostile to the Word of God. In contrast, Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, provides classical Lutheran education rooted in God's Word for students preschool through grade 12. Simply put, we equip students to stand firm in the faith through solid education focused on wisdom and virtue. We offer in-person instruction as well as live online classes for remote learning. To learn more, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues Etc.
When Martin Luther preached the dedication for the Torgau Church, he asserted that nothing else happened in this house but that our dear Lord speak to us and we respond in prayer, thanksgiving, and praise.
Issues, etc. Guest, Dr. John Pless.
The same could be said of Concordia Theological Seminary. This is a place where our Lord speaks to us through His Word, and we respond in joyful and thankful confession. We therefore invite you to visit our campus, where the Word of Christ dwells among us richly.
Learn more about studying for the vocations of pastor or deaconess at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Forming servants in Jesus Christ to teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. ctsfw.edu or 1-800-481-2155.